Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Christ Jesus our Lord. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. Let us give thanks and praise God. Let us pray. Eternal God, your only Son was taken up into heaven that he might bring together heaven and earth and bestow the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. Make us joyful in his ascension so that we might worship him in his glory. And we pray you would come and be present with us, even as we are scattered about, that you would be present with us by your one Holy Spirit, that we might be joined together by your Spirit in our worship of you. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our hymn of adoration is number 295, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his burning eye at mystery so bright. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways from pole to pole, that wars may cease, absorbed in prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet fair flowers of paradise extend their fragrance ever sweet. Crown him the Lord of years, the potentate of time, creator of the rolling spheres, ineffably sublime. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy grace shall never, never fail throughout eternity.
Seeing we have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, and make our confession to our Heavenly Father. Let us pray together. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, once we were far off from you, having no hope and cut off from you in the world, but now Jesus Christ has brought us near to you, reconciling us to you. We poor sinners confess that we have been sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed.
Therefore we flee for refuge to your boundless mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, since you have given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. As a minister of the gospel, I declare to you that all those who have faith in Jesus Christ and do repent of their sin are truly forgiven of all their sin. And let us say together,
praise be to God.
Saints of the living God, when the people of Israel entered into their covenant with the Lord, they were told, "The Lord has chosen you to be a people for his own possession." When Christ came, he said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." And the apostles instructed the churches that they were God's own people. Now, it's easy to want to fit in with everyone else in our society. That's the way of least resistance. There is the great pressure to talk like everyone else, dress like everyone else, watch the same movies as everyone else, spend our money like everyone else, and believe like everyone else. To put it succinctly, there's a great push to be an American first and foremost, to just be a regular part of our society. But you, brothers and sisters in Christ, are not Americans first. You are Christians first and foremost. You belong to the Lord. And because of this, there will be great loss and great gain. Being a Christian first means that you will lose popularity. You may not earn as much money as you could otherwise. At times you will appear foolish, you will be mocked, you will be considered simpletons. Yet there's also the great gain in belonging to Christ. Being a Christian first means you gain freedom from sin, and you gain love and joy and peace, the peace of God. You are those who belong to the kingdom of heaven. You're not a slave of evil. You have faith in God and abundant, everlasting life with God. And so the gain that we receive is much greater, and we experience some of that even right now in this life, but all of it in fullness when Christ returns. Always live as followers of Jesus Christ first. For this is the will of God for us, and let us say, Amen. Amen. Our hymn is number 289, A Hymn of Glory Let Us Sing. And now let us pray our prayer of intercession. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful Father, by your mercy in Jesus Christ, we have been born anew to a living hope. As once you brought your people through the Red Sea waters, so from the waters of death you raise us up to the life of Jesus Christ. Once we were no people, but now we are your people. Once we were children of wrath, now we are your adopted sons and daughters. As Christ ascended to your right hand, may our prayers ascend to you in his name. Fill up the whole church with your power and unity and peace. Grant that all who trust you may obey your word and live together in faith and love. May the churches in this metropolitan area bear witness to the one who rose from the dead and descended into heaven, ascended into heaven, Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear our prayers for churches from different traditions: Baptist, Methodist, Independent, Eastern Orthodox, Roman Catholic, Lutheran, for Grace PCA in Midtown Detroit. We pray for unity of faith and witness to Jesus Christ. And we pray not only for these denominations and traditions of churches, but also for specific ones that come to mind. Hear our prayers, O God. You are the ruler of the nations. Guide us in the way of justice and truth. Increase order and peace and righteousness in the societies of this world. We pray you bless us with a cure for the coronavirus. May we always defend and come to the aid of oppressed people. Hear our prayers that you guide and direct those who govern in this world to the end that there is just government and peace. We pray for Emmanuel Macron, Vladimir Putin, Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel, Andre Obrador in Mexico, Donald Trump, our president, Hassan Rouhani in Iran, and Xi Jinping of China. Hear our prayers for those who guide and lead the nations of this world, and we pray for better cooperation and relationships between them. Hear our prayers. We beseech you for the mission of the church, that in faithful witness to Jesus Christ, your people may proclaim the gospel to every nation. And we know that the Orthodox Presbyterian Church plays its part in this. Hear our prayers for Benjamin Hopp and his family in Haiti, and Octavius Delfils in Haiti as well, and Ben Westerveld in Quebec. We pray for their families and the churches with whom they're working, and that many would hear the gospel and believe. Hear our prayers for the mission of the church around this world. Bless the pastors and churches of the Presbytery of Michigan and Ontario with faith and hope and love. Hear our prayers for Lat Duong and the Vietnamese church in Grand Rapids, and also for Stephen Pribble and Grace OPC in Lansing. Hear our prayers. Our Father, give to this congregation your grace for its life together, its vocation to be witnesses to Jesus Christ, and for its worship. Oh God, give us that grace that as we return, we would be able to resume these activities in earnest. Fill our hearts with your self-giving love so that our voices may speak your praise and we may grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Jesus Christ. And give us the bread of life that we may remain your people and faithfully serve you in this world. Hear our prayers for those in need in our congregation. For our friends, we do pray for Anna and Emily, Hannah Wilson, Jill Collier, for healthy deliveries. We pray for Terry and Eduardo, Jeff and Fawn, Caleb, Kristen. We also pray for our friends Scott and Becky, Tish and Lori, Mrs. Mesner, Mrs. Venus, Seth, and others we name to you in silence. May the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection, which sets us free from sin and gives us new life, may it be heard with faith. May each of these hear that with faith, continued faith, if they already know. And may these for whom we pray be strengthened in their weakness and have confidence in your grace and the goodness that you do lavish upon us. Finally, we do pray that you would encourage us and send us out into the world to proclaim Christ's victory over sin, and to work in our cities for peace between people, justice for the weak and innocent, for a society in which people are not exploited in the name of personal freedom, where we help people who are languishing, and teach a greater knowledge of your ways and your will. All of this being a witness to Jesus Christ. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commit all of our prayers, trusting in your mercy that is revealed in Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We are grateful for the offerings, the gifts that are given to the church. Let us pray and give thanks for these and dedicate them to the Lord. Let us pray.
Lord,
we give our gifts to you with thankfulness for the magnificent gift of Jesus that you so generously gave to us. May we give to others with the same thankfulness.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
As we hear the word of God read and preached, let us pray that God would illuminate us with it by His Spirit. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, gracious Father, who reveals your love and grace in your Son, whose love is the delight of all life, and whose word we love is the light of life, may your Spirit be at work with us as we read from your prophets and apostles and hear the Scripture preached, so that our hearts and minds may be illumined with that good message of your word, and that our days be filled with peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first lesson is from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Listen to the word of God. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, and as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by him in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will go in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Our Psalter response is from Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For the Lord the Most High is to be feared, a great King over all the earth.
He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet.
He chose our heritage
for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves.
God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with a psalm.
God reigns over the nations, God sits on his holy throne.
The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God, he is highly exalted. Our epistle lesson is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ shall suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This week, on Monday, is National Missing Children Day. Now more than ever, this is poignant because of the human trafficking crisis. It's hard to pin down the problem, partly because of lack of definition, but it is a nation or a worldwide problem, not just our nation, but the world. And by far, one of the countries with the biggest problem with missing children is the United States. I looked up some facts, and each year over 460,000 children are reported missing in the United States. These are runaways, abductions, and kidnap victims. Some stores actually post pictures of missing children at their entrance, hoping to make some identification. I often find myself glancing over at the wall and sometimes walking over to stare at the pictures of their faces. Terse descriptions are given at the bottom of each photo. Such and such a person, blue eyes, this tall, last seen in some city. Many of them are runaways, and in some cases there's no explicable reason why the child ran away. They just did. Occasionally an Amber Alert goes off and we get a message on our phone. Every so often in the news, the parents of a runaway child are shown appealing to the public to help them find their child. Their faces are twisted in agony, exhausted from crying for days or weeks, haggard from a continuous 24-hour-a-day search. "If you've seen my daughter, please call. If you know anything about where she is, give the information to the police," they plead. I cannot imagine the heart-wrenching pain they feel. Perhaps you've known the parents of a child who ran away and the anguish they experienced. My heart goes out to them and I say a prayer for them. Please, O God, help them to find their child. And then comes along that wonderful story. It doesn't happen often enough, but that wonderful story that tells of parents finding their child. And the agony turns to joy, anxiety becomes relief. Huddled together before the cameras, they effusively thank the police and volunteers who spent days searching for their child. They thank the media for getting the word out. They thank the nation for listening to them and for caring. And sometimes they even thank God. They cannot stop saying thank you. Like the family of a girl in Florida, Nadia, who went missing for 4 days in a dense swamp area. She was found by a man who was a member of their former church. He searched deeper and deeper into the swamp where no one else was looking. And when she was found, her family and friends were full of tired, relieved smiles. And the church they had attended had a special service of praise to God. She came home. Now, it might seem strange to bring this up in our worship since it's not part of the church calendar. We do not observe National Missing Children Day in the church. As a matter of fact, today is Ascension Sunday. It's not that we don't care about national days like this one. However, in Christian worship, in the church, we celebrate another homecoming, a homecoming with God. In our scripture readings today, we hear of God on the move. What we do not hear is God sitting around with us over coffee, relaxed in a comfortable chair. He's not sitting there talking about what is going on in our lives and the world, a quiet little conversation. No, God is moving. He is moving in Jesus Christ. The scripture readings all relate to the ascension of Christ, of his going up to God. The story in the book of Acts says he was lifted up. Ephesians says he was raised up from the dead and made to sit at the right hand of God the Father in authority and power. The gospel reading says he was carried up into heaven. Jesus' movement, lifted up on the cross, then the resurrection, and then the ascension up to God, is like a big swing arcing upward from the ground. Except the swing of God's movement doesn't start in this world. It starts with God above us, beyond us, over us, and it swings down. It first swings down, and then it swings up. The movement of God in the ascension of Jesus Christ upward assumes that he first came downward to us. And this, of course, is what we celebrated at Christmas time, the birth of Jesus Christ, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, God with us, as the Gospel of Matthew says. The eternal Son of God took to himself our humanity. He assumed our fleshly existence. He became a man. And without a break in the action, he grew up and began his ministry in Galilee. He traveled about with his disciples, healing the sick, confronting the demons, feeding the hungry, rebuking the Jewish leaders. All along this movement, Jesus was on a journey to the cross where he would give himself for our sin, lifted up from the earth, bearing the judgment and cost of our sin. And from death, he was raised and moved about, revealing himself to his disciples. 40 days later, he went up to God. And this is where Luke's gospel ends. Having commissioned his disciples to be his witnesses, Jesus walked out with them from Jerusalem. He turned and blessed them, and while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven, the scripture says. And what we hear is not a goodbye. There's nothing in our text that mentions a farewell, best wishes, see you later. Jesus Christ went up to God for us. He assumed our humanity, he joined us with himself, and in his movement, he brings us back to God. The ascension of Jesus Christ is the movement of God bringing us back to himself. God comes after us in Jesus Christ. We ran away from him. We were missing, you might say, like that girl in the swamp, and he comes after us, breaking into his creation. Through the boundary of heaven and earth, into our space and time, he rends the heavens and comes down, pushing his way into the wasteland of our sin, leveling the mountains and raising up the valleys, shining his light in the darkness, calling out with his word, resounding in the confusing clatter of this world. And he finds us and takes us to himself in Jesus Christ. He picks us up, wretched and torn in our sin. He washes the dirt from us, he heals our broken lives, feeds us with his own hand, refreshes our parched souls, joins us together in his community of blessing and grace, teaches us how to live as his people. And he comforts us with his word. Your sins are forgiven. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are my beloved children. To you I give the Holy Spirit. God has come after us in Christ, and he's brought us back to himself. We're not lost anymore in our sin. In Christ, we are reconciled to God. Christ has gone up to God for us, and God and man forever joined together in grace and love and peace. We are bound to God in Christ with a bond that cannot be broken. God moved toward us in Christ, and now today we celebrate and give praise to God that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, ascended back to the Father. We Christians live in the new reality of being reconciled to God. We know God. The world around us has grown very thin in its knowledge of God. Anemic, you might say. Talking to people about God who have preferred to go it alone, who want to be self-sufficient outside the church, is a conversation of vagueness. You should try it from time to time. Talking to someone who's outside the church about God, it's all very vague. I've heard people interested in spirituality, divine things, tell me that God is a force of life. Often I'm told that God is hidden, distant, remote, or that he is the numinous presence that is sensed in this world, the divine, the transcendent being. It's a very vague kind of conversation. Reconciled to God in Christ, we Christians have a robust knowledge of God. We don't just believe in God, we confess that we know God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The church's creeds, which we confess, like the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed, they're a mouthful, aren't they? Have you ever wondered if we could shorten them a bit, since we say them every week? Drop a line here and there, especially since some of the phrases may be a bit confusing or sound a bit arcane. But when we confess our faith, we're saying what we know. And reconciled to God, we know much more than that there is a God. We don't just say we believe in God. Sure, we believe in God, but we believe in God, the creator of all things, and in Jesus Christ, begotten of his Father before all worlds, truly God, who came down from heaven for us and for our salvation, and the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son. And every time we confess our faith, we're declaring who God is and what he's done for us. We're saying what we know. We know this God who has revealed himself to us and for us in Christ. We know what he's done for us in Christ. And we know he has come after us and brought us back to himself in Jesus Christ. In the new reality of being reconciled to God in Christ, we're at peace with God. God is not our enemy. Christ brings us home to God, and we are received with wide open arms. It's like the father in Jesus' story of the prodigal son in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, claimed by God, pardoned of our sin, made holy, adopted into the family of his people. These are the words Scripture uses to tell us about being at peace with God. We're like the prodigal son, welcomed back into the Father's family. Hearing the gospel and believing in Jesus Christ, when we come to worship God, we don't cower in the corners of our sanctuary, afraid that we'll be crushed by God or destroyed by God. And it's not because God does not judge us or he ignores our sin and disobedience. The Bible amply testifies to God's judgment of this world and our sin. We gather in joy and thanksgiving to praise God because he has come after us in Christ, overcoming our sin, and has brought us back to himself. God is not some capricious power who we must appease. We don't have to wake up every day and wonder what we have to do to make God happy, wondering how we can keep him from beating us up. Christ has gone up to God, and we are at peace with God. In the new reality of being reconciled to God, he loves us and we love him. In our world, love has been so twisted by our sin that we define it in ways that actually aren't loving. And we also equate it simply in a reductionistic kind of way with intense feelings and pleasure, which are often so self-centered. God's love is that full, abiding, and eternal communion of love given, received, and shared. It is the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Scripture, we read that God gives his love to us even though we sin. To Israel, he said, "To the Lord your God belong heaven, the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love upon your fathers and chose their descendants after them." Scripture also says, "For God so loved the world." And it says elsewhere that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has brought us into the love of God. And now God's love has been poured into our hearts, and our love answers his love. In Christ, God loves us, and we love God. We want to serve him and obey him. And when we do not, we are filled with remorse because we have disobeyed him. With love for Christ, we listen to Scripture and order our lives according to God's Word. We worship Him each Lord's Day in obedient thanksgiving because God loves us and we love Him. We love our neighbors because God first loved us. And we don't want to lie or cheat or act immorally. Rather, we want to speak graciously because we've been reconciled to God in love. In the reality of being reconciled to God, we look to the future in confident hope. God has not abandoned us in the wilderness of sin and the broken world. This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven, said the angel to the disciples. This rebellious, sinful world has a future, made new and complete and healed and made whole, restored. Being brought home to God, we have a wonderful new life of promise and redemption. So our homecoming to God is a matter of faith and love and hope. God is on the move in Christ, and the disciples were standing there, immobile, staring into heaven in our reading from Acts. The followers of Christ cannot be immobile. So the angels asked the disciples why they were standing there in order to prod them back into action. They must go to Jerusalem. The promised Holy Spirit was about to be poured out upon them. The church's ministry needed to be reformed. They must be Christ's witnesses to the end of the earth. The new reality of coming home to God was to be proclaimed to the world. The ascension of Christ gives movement to each one of us Christians and to the whole church. Jesus often compared his disciples to plants and trees and vines. Living plants growing with green vines. Not stuck in place, but moving. We're moving in our faith. We're growing in our knowledge and love of God. There have been times I've sat down with wizened, gray-haired, older Christians about their life following Christ. And we've talked. They share stories. And they let me know through their stories that as far as I think I have come in my faith, and as far as they think they had come, that movement in Christ never stopped. Even in their old age, they were still moving in their relationship with God. Our theology, listening to God's word, love for others, repenting of sin, is not finished yet. It continues. There's movement in the Christian life. In Christ, your faith and love of God moves. And the church continues to be on the move in the world. In the midst of the world's confusion, here we are praising God that Jesus Christ has ascended up to God. In the confusion of a world that has tried to stand still and hold its breath until the coronavirus is defeated. In the confusion of the world that does not know which way is up and which way is down, all turned around, we tell the world that Christ brings us back to God. We show the world this new reality in Christ with our faith, hope, and love. On the move for Christ. Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that as we believe your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who have ascended into heaven, so in him may we ascend and be your faithful witnesses now to our reconciliation with you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen. Let us confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, through whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And we believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our hymn is number 302, Come, Christians, Join to Sing. And now let us give thanks to God for the work of Jesus Christ that saves us and gives us new life. Let us pray. Most holy and majestic Father, we give you thanks for sending your only begotten Son, in whom your fullness dwells, to be for us the way, the truth, and the life. Revealing your salvation, Jesus taught those who would hear him, healed those who believed in him, received all who seek him, and lifted the burden of their sin. He glorified you for your great power and grace at work in Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary. By the baptism of his suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us a new people by water and the Spirit. We offer our thanksgiving to you for Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns both now and forever. Amen. The final hymn is number 2900, Hail the Day That Sees Him Arise. And now receive the benediction. Christ, our ascended King, pour upon you the abundance of his gifts and bring you to reign with him in glory. And the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you now and forever. Amen.
Go forth for God, go to the world in peace. Be of good courage, armed with heavenly grace. In God's good Spirit, daily to increase, till in the kingdom we behold his face.